This audio recording is produced by Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous, also known as FA. FA is a program based on the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is free and open to anyone who wants to stop eating addictively. The following is one FA member's story of recovery. The opinions expressed here are those of the individual member and do not represent FA as a whole. If you are new or uncertain about FA, we encourage you to listen to several stories to gain an understanding of what the program offers. For information on the FA program, please visit our website, foodaddicts.org.
Hello. Welcome to this virtual qualification recording of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, FA. I am a food addict from the Bronx, New York, and I will share my story of recovery from food addiction. So I'm going to jump in and share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Before I jump in, I'll say that I'll start with my numbers. So I'm 38 years old. Again, I'm from the Bronx, New York. And I came in at almost 265 pounds. I lost about 130 pounds off my body, which I can't believe this is my life. I was always a big girl. So I can't believe this. This program works. I pray that something I say can articulate the fact that this program is a miracle. It has transformed my entire life. So what it was like, I'll start there. I grew up in New York City. Like I said, I was always a big girl, right? Everything was about my snacks growing up. So I had a reputation of being a really good kid. I was a little shy. If you really knew me, I was kind of funny, but I was shy around a lot of people. And what kept me comfortable was my snacks, you know, that's just what it was. I didn't really have the language back then to think that I had any kind of problem with food, or I just thought that's what it was. Like, doesn't everyone eat, you know? So I was chubby, you know, the food showed up on me very early. Food addiction is a disease of the mind, body, and spirit. So physically it showed up on me early. You know, my parents were really young. When I was born. So I say that to say I was pretty much raised by everyone, you know, babysitter and aunts and my grandparents. And so it really took a village. By the time I was 9 years old, my parents sent me, they called it weight loss camp. I guess they were concerned with my weight. But at that time I called it fat camp. And that was around the time when I, my self-esteem, so a disease of the mind, body, and spirit, my mind, I just really, around age 9 is when I really just started to just hate my body. You know, I thought I was ugly, you know, and so that mental, that inner self-hate, my story is one of self-hate, and it's hard for me to say that out loud, but I really need to just be honest about my story and where I come from. And I just really hated myself. You know, like the only thing that was ever on my mind growing up was like, oh, I'm too fat. I'm too ugly. You know, I don't, you know, this person doesn't like me, or those were the things, right, that just went on in my head. And thank you, God, that's not my story today, you know. So, but growing up, that's what it was. As far as the eating, like this is a progressive disease. Like when I reflect on my childhood, like the eating just got worse and worse and worse. I remember being 11 years old and I had 11 cavities. And it was a little bit of delusion with my food addiction too, because it wasn't like, oh, I ate too much, you know, flour, sugar, I have cavities. It was just like, whoa, how did that happen? You know, like, how did I get these cavities? You know, and then I got the dental work done and continued to eat how I ate. So it was like, wasn't a connection of, oh, I eat a lot, so I'm obese, or, oh, I eat a lot of sugar, so I have 11 cavities. It just was like a disconnect. So yeah, you know, another thing about the eating, I guess it was just my comfort, because things weren't bad. It was just my inner world. Now, if this was 5 years ago, I've been in this program 5 years. If this was 5 years ago, I would have told you what's wrong with my mother, what's wrong with my father, what everybody did wrong. And, you know, everyone was doing the best they could. It was just the way I perceived things and my inner world that was the issue, you know, growing up. So, yeah, things weren't that bad, but I just ate to just feel comfortable in my skin. Because I just imagine, like, just walking around all day long, I'm fat, I'm ugly, this person doesn't like me, this thing is wrong, that thing is wrong, you know? I guess I had to eat to give myself some kind of, you know, comfort. And then the more I ate, the more I wanted to eat. And so when I reflect, you know, in this program, we eat 3 meals a day with nothing in between. Growing up, I ate 5 meals a day and snacked all in between. That was my meal plan. You know, I ate a sugary breakfast, you know, I ate lunch at school. I ate a after school snack, which was another lunch. So 2 lunches, I ate dinner at the babysitter's house and I had dinner again when I went home. So, and this was like years, that was just fine, you know? And I remember one time, one of my friends said to me, I have an oral fixation because it was just always something. It was always something going in my mouth, some kind of snack or some kind of something. It was just, so yeah, 5 meals a day, snacks all in between. So that's the food, you know, the addiction part of it. But, you know, when I came into this program, I heard someone say something that really resonated with me. And I feel like it can explain like my whole childhood. But they said, you know, I don't think much of myself, but I'm all I think about. And I was like, oh, that was me. That was me, you know, so that was the mental part. And what's worse, I didn't even know that that wasn't well. Like, I thought I was fine. Like, doesn't everyone eat and, you know, think thoughts? Like, this is just a normal part of life, right? But no, you get well. And, you know, I got well. And I look back and I'm like, whoa, thank you, God, for recovery. Thank you, God, for this transformation. So that's just pretty much how my mind worked growing up. And then the spiritual part, you know, I think I mentioned like there was delusion to my food addiction. Like I didn't, like, why am I fat? Like, why am I ugly? Like, you know, why am I, you know, these are the things that I thought. But spiritually, I thought it was God's fault. That was honestly how I felt. You know, I just like, you know, I would have my little moments with my higher power, which I now call God. And I would say, why did you do this to me? You know, that's just what it was. Something, a memory that's coming to me lately is just how much I hated my body. So I got to say these things because it's real, you know, it's what was going on. And it's good to reflect on these things because it's just so far from where I am today because of FA and recovery. But that's what it was. You know, I just hated myself. I hated myself. But you, no one would know that, right? Because it was just like, I just put on this, I guess the food kept me numb. My mother used to call me Nonchalant Nancy. My name is not Nancy, but that's what she used to call me because it was just like, everything's fine. You know, nothing to see here. I'm good. It's not a big deal. You know, never talked about what I felt, which is another part of that spiritual illness. No one knew me. To my friends, they would always say, you know, you're the strong friend, you know, you're the, you know, we'll come to you for advice. And that's what it seemed because I never really showed any feeling or emotion or what I was feeling or what was going on. And as I've said, there was a lot going on internally. I just never talked about it. So years and years and years of that, I guess that's some kind of soul sickness. I don't know, but I never talked about how I felt. I never felt comfortable enough to let anyone really know me because I felt like if they really knew me, then they wouldn't like me, right? Because I didn't like me. So, you know, that's kind of how it was, you know, growing up. When it was time to go to college, like I said, I grew up in New York City. A lot of my friends in New York City, they're like, we can't leave New York. We can't leave our, you know, our parents. We can't leave our siblings, whatever it was. I didn't feel that way. I just was very like, I guess numb is the word. We called it strong back then, but numb. And I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm going to college in Atlanta, you know? And So I left New York when I was 18 years old, and I moved to Atlanta. And this is not like a AA meeting or, you know, alcohol program, but alcohol is a part of my story, and I really have to share it. I really have to share, you know, what it was like and what happened that really kind of expedited me to get to recovery, because things got really bad before they got this good, you know? So I was off to Atlanta, and I was 18 years old, and that's when the drinking started. At first it was fun, right? So I would drink on the weekends. I would drink, you know, with the parties and all of that kind of stuff. And with drinking, it worked until it didn't. What it did for me is it gave me like self-esteem, and, you know, I was confident and I could like say funny things. And so it was just like, oh, I like this. People think I'm funny. They want to hang around me and all of this stuff. But yeah, at the time I didn't know I'm an addict. So with, I think food was my first thing. And then it transitioned to the alcohol. So yeah, I know when I typically tell this part of my story with the alcohol, I say I put down food. That's not true. I didn't put down food. I think I would say it took a back seat, and then it was the drinking, right? Because in all of my 20s, when I was drinking, so my 20s are a blur. The drinking was there. It was a blur. For some reason, I did graduate from college. I got my master's degree. I got a good job where I travel with my job. But the drinking was just getting worse and worse. But during those years is when I first started my journey with dieting and trying to lose weight. And because other than a fat camp when I was a little girl, I never really tried to lose weight. I just blame God that I was overweight. One thing I want to mention while I'm saying that, as far as just like numbers, by the time I was in high school, I think I was already about 200 and like, or before high school, I was already 217 pounds, I believe. So yeah, but going back to college time and the drinking time and finally just saying, okay, that's it. You know, I'm going to lose weight. And so I'm not going to give you the list of things I tried. We'll be here for the next 20 minutes talking about that. But I tried it all, you know, and this is how I know food addiction is progressive. I was able to diet at first. I could do it for like 6 months and I lost weight. And then I would try something else for like 3 months now, right? And then I lost weight. And so that cycle continued where the diets were like less time, right? They weren't lasting as long. I was losing less weight. You know, this ability to like do it, like I just couldn't pull it off. Didn't have the language to know that that was addiction. But there was this desire in me that was always like, no, that is it. Like, I'm going to lose this weight. Like, I'm going to eat right. I'm going to buy all the stuff. You know, I always had this desire to have the best out of life in general. You know, because it was like, I was like watching Oprah Super Soul Sunday, every Sunday. And I was like reading all the Law of Attraction books and all the self-help book and listening to podcasts and YouTube motivational speeches. And I was like doing all this stuff. Like I really wanted a good life, you know, and some of that stuff helped, you know, but my top of the line thinking got me to 265 pounds. So I guess it worked for what it was. It kind of kept me afloat. I became a life coach, like all of these things. So I'm bringing that up to say, yes, I'm a food addict. Yes, I come from like self-hate and, you know, low self-esteem and all of these things. But at the same time, like I always had this thing in me, like I just want the best out of life. Like I want a good life. But it kind of felt like it wasn't for me. Maybe that's for other people. You know, I wanted it, but I didn't have any, I don't know how to articulate it other than to say like recovery was my solution. You know, I didn't know at the time. So anyway, that's what I could share about that phase of my life of, you know, the drinking and the dieting and just the trying the, you know, the yoga retreats and the stuff, just all the stuff. And I was big and depressed. But I'm grateful that the drinking did what it did, because my desperation brought me to recovery. I used to be a blackout drinker and I would drive. And every time I say that, I want to like cry, because that is horrifying, but it's where I come from. You know, I would be blackout drunk driving around town. So that got me a little desperate, because everything in me, and this is what addiction is, I would be like, I'm never doing that again. Like I would never do that again. And there's a part in our literature, the big book, where, you know, Bill says in his story, you know, this time I mean business, you know, next day came home drunk, something like that it says, but that was me. Like I really meant it. I'm changing. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm starting this diet. Like this is it. And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. So that got me pretty desperate. I want to say it was the blackout. The blackout and driving was really scary for me. You know, always calling out of work. Like I was just like, right. I never went to jail, all the stuff, things that I hear that where drinking takes you, but I felt like I was just like right on the tip of something. I felt it. My finances were going crazy, you know, like relationships and promiscuity and just everything was just like, whoa, this is getting like crazy. But my favorite part of everybody's story, anyone listening to this, my favorite part of everybody's story is, you know, how we find recovery is just such like a divine thing. And so this is my favorite part of my story anyway, is that I prayed from somewhere deep in my soul. I said, God, like, please, there is something wrong. This, like, help me, please. You know, like, now I know what I was saying. It's like, I need recovery. I need a solution. But it was just like, there's something wrong with me. There's something off. Please help me. I'm like crying. I remember I was like driving. It was like a rainy day. It was kind of dramatic when I think back about it. But I'm crying and I'm praying and I'm just like, God, please help me. And I was traveling with work. Shortly after that moment, that prayer, and every time I think about this, I get goosebumps. But out of every plane in the world, every seat in the plane, I sat next to this woman, and I was drinking on the plane, and I'll never forget the way she looked at me, and she just said, I used to drink like that, you know, and I'm just like, what? Like, what did you do? You know, how did you change it? And she's just like, you know, why don't we talk about it when you're not drinking? She gave me her business card. A year later, things had gotten so bad that I went in my laptop bag. I got her business card and I emailed her. And I said, hey, remember me from the plane? We were on our way to Colorado. And you mentioned that you used to drink and you stopped. Can you share your tips? You know? And, she emailed me back immediately. Well, I recently found that email. Let me just say, I thought the email was just about drinking, but at the bottom of the email, I put, P.S. There's a mental block going on with my food as well. Because she was very like a bodybuilder, like, or I forget the term, but she was really fit. She did like the competitions. And so I put, you know, P.S. There's a mental block with my food. So if you have any tips on that, let me know. Mental block. That's what I called my food addiction, a mental block. That's an interesting term, but it's pretty fitting. But yeah, so I sent that email. She emails me back immediately. I got the email like right back. And she's just like, yeah, I remember you. Send me your address and I'm going to send you something. Okay, this is perfect. So I give her my address. I don't know what I thought she was going to mail me, maybe some pills, maybe some tips. I don't know what I thought. But she mails me the recovery literature, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And keep me honest, I was so offended. I was just like, what? No. Me? No. Like, uh-uh. Like, you know, I have a good job. I drive a nice car. Like, you know, I got a degree. I'm a life coach. Like, no, this can't be me. I was so offended. Didn't thank her, didn't respond. I thanked her later. But that happened. A month later, speaking of like that divine intervention, I think that was a God thing, but I didn't listen, right? And so a month later, I'm out. You know, I meet like this random person who says, oh, I'm so happy I don't drink anymore. Cause you know, everyone's drunk and he's frustrated. And he says, I'm so happy I don't drink anymore. You know, and he, I'm like, well, what did you do? You know, I'm just looking for like a quick, you know, come on, give me what I got to do real quick. And he's like, I can give you something. Like my car is right here. And so we walk to the car. He gives me a big book, the same book. I'm like, okay, like everybody's giving me this book. And that kind of like cracked open something where I'm like, all right. So, and he ended up telling me about meetings. I went to meetings. I'll fast forward this part, but you know, I got sober. The first recovery meeting, I don't know if anyone has this experience of going into your first recovery meeting and feeling like, oh, I felt exposed a little bit. Like, why are y'all telling all this? Like, I thought these were my own little secrets, but I felt exposed, but I also felt home. Like, wow. And then I felt inspired. Like, so yeah, I used to be like this and y'all not like this anymore. You know, so that was in 2014. I got sober. I struggled a little bit because I didn't want to be an alcoholic. So I struggled a little bit. So when anyone struggles with the food, that's always my first question. Do you feel and do you admit that you're a food addict? Because I did my struggles in AA when I didn't want it. And so I couldn't get sober. And when I just said, fine, me too. It talks about that in the big book too. Me too. You know, I'm an alcoholic too. I was able to get sober and work that program. But let me tell you something. When I put that alcohol down, that food came back so crazy. Remember I told y'all I drank my way into blackouts? I learned how to eat into blackouts once I put the alcohol down. Like I guess it's that part of me that is just an addict and just needs something to feel comfortable when I really know that I just need God. I got sober in 2014. And as I said, I came into FA in 2018. So it was 4 years of like, I mean, I gained about maybe 60 pounds in those 4 years, with like 20 of them being in like the last couple of months before I came into FA. I really like went hard towards the end. But so what that time was like, I'm so grateful for AA. I'm so grateful. Not to sound morbid, but I can't imagine I would still be living or something bad. So I'm just so grateful for that. I'm grateful that I learned about addiction. So I need to share that. Let me do the pain. Let me go through it for y'all. You know, like I learned about what addiction is. It's fatal. It's a disease. Like I learned all of that stuff, which at first feels depressing. But then I learned about like recovery, like everything could turn around. So I kind of knew this stuff. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful to FA, to AA, FA too, but I'm grateful to AA for that time of just learning about addiction and learning about the power of recovery. And that was able to keep me sober, but I was eating myself to death. Cause I was healthy, but by the time, you know, those 4 years, I got high blood pressure, high cholesterol, like all the stuff starts to happen, right? It's progressive. And at this point I couldn't diet at all. Like business, right? I'm going to do this diet and I would buy all this stuff. And at this point I couldn't get through a day. It was like, it's Monday morning, you know, and I'm going to do this diet. And then I mess up by like, it's 8 a.m. and I'll mess up by like 10 a.m. I'll start Tuesday, same thing. All right. Wednesday, we almost at the weekend. Like, so we'll probably just start Monday again. So that, you know, I just couldn't pull it off. And I was really depressed. I remember getting so big and I ran into someone from college in a grocery store. And I remember literally like ducking and hiding because I didn't want him to see me. I was embarrassed. I used to write in my journal, like, God, why do you hate me? You know, so some of that behavior from growing up, you know, it's still, I needed to heal my soul, I guess, because though I don't feel this way now, but those feelings were still there. So my favorite part of my entire life, that might sound dramatic, but it's true, FA, it's finding FA. But I'll just wrap up by sharing like what it's like now. When I came into FA, another one of those divine intervention things, I'm in an AA meeting with a woman who doesn't even go to AA meetings. And later I find out she's a long timer here in FA. She's been in the FA program over 20 years, randomly, quote unquote, you know, in this meeting I'm in. That's that divine intervention stuff. And, you know, she shares about how much she loves herself and how, you know, she lost a lot of weight in another fellowship. And I remember just saying, whatever she's talking about, I'm doing it. Like, I made a decision right there. And so I pretty much stalked her. So I didn't get in contact with her at that meeting. But eventually I got in contact with her and she told me about FA. And so I came in here, like, I kind of knew recovery was going to work. I felt like it was a little ridiculous, keep me honest. I just was like, what? I got to do what? You know, because there's the, got to weigh and measure my food at. Eat at certain times. And, you know, all of these tools that today are like the highlight of my life. But back then it felt like a chore. Like, why do I have to do all of this stuff? You know, but my prayer for anyone listening to this, I just did it. I don't know. Something just clicked in my mind where I was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna do it. Just how it's outlined. It was like with a little chip on my shoulder. Like, I'm gonna do this thing just how it is, you know? And that backfired in a great way, you know, because intellectually it doesn't make sense. Like, why do I have to do it that way? Why do I have to? Why? Like, that's silly. But something in me was like, I'm going to do the silliness. And so I worked this program exactly how it's outlined. And like, the more I do it, the more I love it. Like, the more I got abstinent and clean with the food, the more, you know, the more like I love being abstinent, the more people I talk to and connect with, the more I love it, you know? So it's just like a positive spiral, I guess. I don't know the terminology. But yeah, today I'm in a right size body, which is just like, what? I still, it's just not old. I'm just like, what? When I do my laundry and I see my little jeans, I'm like, whose jeans are those? But they're mine, you know, my body fits, you sure? Cause they, you know, if I dry them, I'm like, I don't know. And they're like these little jeans and I slip right in them. I'm like, okay, this is my life now. I got, these are my little jeans, you know, the big girl, I was always the big girl. Now I wear the little jeans. So that's what it's like physically, but mentally and spiritually, I love myself, which is just like, wow, that's what peace is. That part of me that was like, oh, this is wrong, that's wrong. Don't get me wrong, I have my moments. But there's a lot more peace, you know, a lot more self-love. And guess what? It's not all about me. My mind is not all about, this is wrong with me, that's wrong with me. My mind is now about like, how can I nourish this relationship? How can I help this person out? If there's someone, you know, a girl in the Bronx, New York, who is suffering, what can I do for her, you know? So that's where it is today. And that is just they call it the joy of living, right? Like, my prayer every morning is that God uses me to help someone else. So now the way I explain my life, I don't have the word. So I say magic, like FA is magic. And I feel like my life is magical. Maybe a better word is spiritual, but things are just so much better on all levels. Right. So my body, my health, you know, my relationships, you know, I lived in Atlanta for 20 years and now I'm back home in New York, you know, like with my mother, you know, which is a whole another beautiful healing thing. You know, I'm a mature woman in recovery and now we get along. So maybe I was the problem all along. We didn't get along. Like pick any area of life. Right. So like my relationship with my mother now is beautiful. But that was not the case. You know, I nourish relationship with my friends now, so, you know, to the best of my ability. My friends didn't know me. So that kind of, you know, severed a lot of friendships because, it was one-sided. But today it's a mutual thing where I can be open and honest and I can hold space as well. Financially, something about being in addiction. I'm like, money, what? Like debt, what? Like, I'm just going to spend it all anyway, you know? And that's not my story today. It's like, I'm abstinent with my food. It's weighed and measured. I do the same with my money. And this is by far not a brag, but when I look at my account now, I'm like, what? Like all of these things that like I didn't think was possible for me, right? The right size body, you know, the amount of money I have in my savings and the 401k, I got a 401k, y'all. I'm in a relationship, like all of these things. That's why I say magic. Like everything has turned around. You know, my income has doubled, which again, prayer changes thing. I prayed, God, I prayed to double my income. I was praying this bold prayer to the dollar. My income is doubled, which is like, oh, wow, God. Sometimes God be like showing off. I love it though. I'm like, wow. So the body, you know, the income, the relationships, most importantly, the relationship with my higher power. Like I'm not running the show. I go to God. I have this new sense of peace and like joy of living. And then the last thing I'll say is like, I'm just so inspired by the people in this program because, you know, the women, the men and women in FA, you know, showed me that, you know, even that woman that I met in that meeting, in 2018, who told me you can have a good life. You know, you can have great relationships. You know, she told me that I could have a right size body and I never have to eat addictively again. Like that stuff was true, you know? And so I believe it for anyone who wants it. And so today, some of the things like that, I feel like, are they for me? Like I want a family, right? I want marriage. And the part of my mind that sometimes goes negative, it's like, oh, that's for other people. But I have enough experience to know that when I work this program, I too deserve the desires of my heart, you know? So if you want it, this, I'm going to end with this cliche thing, but like, I just mean this from the bottom of my heart. Like, I feel like if I can have this and I can do it, so can you. So thank you.
Thank you for listening to this audio recording. To hear additional recordings or to learn more about Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, you can visit our website, foodaddicts.org.